Blog Talk Radio.
But they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Features of paint and progress. No. Hang on. Ah, goodness. How's everyone doing today? We are absolutely flabbergasted at what you guys and gals are doing. Because apparently you are telling everyone about the show.
Man, oh man. Listenership up
600-700% in the last month. Very, very fun of you to be doing what we ask you to do, which is go tell everyone you see, not just talk to, tell everyone you see to listen to the show. And apparently some of you are doing it. Welcome in to a very fast 2 hours in looking in and uncovering the truth in what's happening out there, what's in the real, in the news, uncovering the truth under the news, because there is not a lot of true facts being told to the American public, and we are going to just continue to do so in our way and make sure that you are kept up to date. Now, this one's going to start off with, we are going to be talking about three things. We're going to be talking about the new world of this healthcare, otherwise known as Obamacare, and the possibility of what's occurring with bullets being purchased and how it's possible this is becoming a police state. We're going to highlight some of the legislation going around the country, and we're going to talk about lots of other things as we go through, one of them being the miracle of this country and why the size of the government matters, ladies and gentlemen, because it's very, very important for you to understand why that's important. In fact, we're going to start with that, okay? We have, you're going to excuse me again, ladies and gentlemen, as we learned last week, the yellow snow is starting to fall in the spring of the new year, and that yellow snow is causing lots of issues in and out of the nasal passages of lots and lots of people. We've attempted to do a lot of stuff and keep that out of here, but as you know, they're very small, very tiny. They come in through very small cracks all over the place. Yep. All right, so why would we even be concerned? Why do I keep doing these shows? Why in the world does the truth need to be told and shown to everybody? Well, let's talk about why big government is not really good for you. Why the size of government matters to you. Okay? First of all, a Leviathan government costs very too much. Yes. But its attack on freedom is a real problem. And that's why we're going to be talking about the possible police state here. Okay? We can stop talking about numbers, billions, trillions, gazillions of dollars. Doesn't matter. One side says, that's just words. No big deal. It's not real. But it's much more than that, ladies and gentlemen. Big government is unaffordable in the long run, period. This year alone, the federal government will run a budget deficit of at least $845 billion. Now, this does represent a decline from the deficit of recent years, but emergency appropriations or any slowdown in economic growth could easily push it back toward the $1 trillion before the end of the year. Although deficits are expected to continue declining for the next few years, eventually bottoming out in 2015 at a measly half a trillion, that's temporary because by the end of the decade, 2020 will be climbing back to annual deficits of a trillion. So that's every year, ladies and gentlemen. Deficit, that means not enough money for the next 7 years, period. No big deal, you say, huh? Well, not enough money for the federal government is not enough money for you. And if you think you're getting hit hard now, what do you think after 7 years of this arduous, horrendous climb to the top? How do you think that's going to make you feel? The debt, already $16.7 trillion, more than 103% of GDP, the gross domestic product, is expected to exceed $26 trillion by the end of 2023. Now you throw in the unfunded liabilities. Well, let's break these words down. Let's make this simple, okay? Liabilities are things that the government has to do, owed, like you signed on the dotted line for your house or your car or a student loan. It's a liability to you because now you have to pay it off. Well, the government has said over the years that every person that has put in the Social Security, we will give back their money. So Social Security, Medicare, are liabilities that the government has promised to other people. Okay? Now, what happened over the years is they've taken some of that money that was sitting over there for those liabilities. Let's say you were saving up for your house and that's been sitting over there. Let's say your car. Let's say you're buying a $2,000 car. You got $2,000. Well, you didn't want to spend all $2,000. So you said, I promised to pay you, you know, $50 a month. Well, something came up in month three and you went and got the $2,000 that was sitting in that account. So now you've got, you owe $2,000. You've used that $2,000 for something else. You went out and partied. And now you still have that $2,000 debt. Okay, so if you throw those in, if you throw that fact in, the real debt is running between 79 and 127 trillion when I just told you that the debt is currently sitting at 16.7 trillion. The liabilities, the things that is owed that do not show up on the books, the money you actually physically took away from the account that was sitting there securely, runs our real debt between 79 and 127 trillion. Now, because of that, the Congressional Budget Office said in 2008 that in order to pay for all currently scheduled federal spending, the corporate tax rate and the top income tax rate would have to be raised from current 35 to 88. And for the middle class, 25 to 63. And for the low income, 10 to 25. So, you make $20,000 a year as a student. You currently pay 10% of that in taxes. Actually, you pay nothing, I think. That's below the threshold. Unless, for the sake of making it easy in the head and numbers on the radio, which is very always hard to put together. For the sake of all that, let's get into real simple numbers. Okay? $20,000, you pay 10%. It's $2,000. So you did all your hard work for $20,000. They take two. You really are left with 18 that you have to live your life with. Okay? They want to increase that to 25. So doing the math on that, 10 and 10 is 4. Another 5 is 1. So now you did all this work for $20,000. They're going to take $5,000. Now you've got to live with $15,000. What? I don't like that plan at all. You should not. But wait, let's say you move up a little bit. Let's say you work real hard and you get your salary up to $50,000. Right? So 25 of 50 is what you would have been paying, okay? So what are we looking at there? It's 5 and 5 and 25, so that's 12, 5. So you worked your tail off for $50,000, and 12, 5's got to come out of it, so that leaves you with 38, 5. Now, you think that you didn't work double as hard for the 50 as you did for the 20? 20, you got 15, 50, you're getting 38.5, but they are saying that they have to raise that. So when you get to 50, it's not 25 anymore, it's 63. Whoa, what? 63, and I'm doing all this in my head. 63 is half plus 10% plus 3, so half of 50 is 25 plus another 10. Right? That's another 5, so 30. And then 3% of 50 is $150. So $30,150. This is all in my head. I'm sure someone's going to tweet and say, you are totally wrong. Just for fun. Times 0.63. All right, that leaves you. Yeah, I was right. 31.5 is what it says. So I was close. Not 30,150. It's moved the zero over 31.5. So you worked real hard for 50,000. You're left with 18. What? Do what now? Do oh, hey. No, I don't. What? This doesn't. This cannot be truth. Truth here, people. I'm getting you to pay attention early and quickly here, ladies and gentlemen. Before we go into what the new legislation is happening and then what could possibly occur and why the police state may occur, I'm going to throw to you why this is going to be a problem and why you think someone's not going to get upset at this. Because again, at 20, they want you to give five. So at $20,000, you're taking home 15. But at $50,000, you're taking home 18.5. Just simply $3,500 more. Let's say you worked really hard and you doubled that 50 to $100,000. Well, it would have been $35,000 going to. That would have left you with $65,000 to take home to your family. They're saying the tax rate now has to be 88. So when you get to 100,000, you're actually going to take home 12. Wait. I know some of you out there are shaking your head going, So I'm a college student right now and coming out as I start, it's going to cost me X. That's right. In 2008, in order to pay for all currently scheduled federal spending, both corporate tax rate and top income tax rate would have to be raised from 35 to 88, 25 to 63, and 10 to 25. The current rate is 35, 25, 10. It will have to be raised to 88, 63, and 25. Using the simple math of $20,000, you'll take home 15. Using the simple math of $50,000, you'll take home 18.5. Using the simple math of $100,000, you'll take home 12. Where do you think you would fall and stay? Where do you make the most money? The middle. But look at how hard you're working. You think some people may choose to stay at that bottom and take the 15? For a lot less stress, only $3,000 less? Or for a lot more stress, $3,000 more less? Hadn't been put to you like that, has it? Just use simple numbers when they talk. You don't have to use the trillions and the billions. But wow. If that doesn't get you thinking about why big government is bad, I don't know how else to tell you. Because that is incompatible with growth. You can't have a country, as great as this country is, continue to grow when the government is continuing to pull from it. There's no economist that says the government can consume an unlimited proportion of the national economy without it having a significant impact on the economy. There is a significantly negative relation between the growth of real GDP and the growth of government share of GDP. An empirical analysis of 23 OECD countries by James Gwartney and his colleagues found a 10% point increase in government consumption as a share of GDP reduced the growth rate of real GDP by 1 percentage point. Numerous other studies, including those from the World Bank and International Monetary Fund, have also shown that as government grows, growth slows. So over and over. It's been proven that bigger government makes for less stuff. And as I just pointed out, way less dollars in your hands for your family. What's the other problem? Big government doesn't work. Real quick in your head, think of some government programs that work. Not many. The further government gets from its core functions, which are laid out in the Constitution. There's your rule book. Well, the further government says, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this, the more it gets involved where it isn't qualified and it doesn't do a very good job. There are 126 separate federal anti-poverty programs at a cost of $668 billion per year. Yet poverty has hardly changed. In fact, you've got reports that it's increasing. Education. The bloated expense of education has increased every year. But test scores remain stagnant. The stimulus bill recently spent on average, $540,000 for every job it created. That means, let's put that in perspective to break it down a little bit for you, ladies and gentlemen, real quick here. You've worked your way up and you said, I can do this. And so you started your own business. So you and this other guy, you said, you know what we need? We need someone to answer the phone for 1 hour a day. So that for that 1 hour, you and I can get together and meet and grow this business. How's that sound, huh? Easy. Well, if you spend it like the government, it would cost you $500,000 before you hired in marketing and whatever else before you hired the person for the phone answering for an hour. I'm trying to break it down for you. Pretty scary. Another thing the government does is it crowds out the private actions of a civil society. Okay? Because if government's sitting there going, we're the anti-poverty expert, not the church, or not the soup kitchen. We do it better. All of you can go on. Go on about your business. But then people sit around and go, well, the government's doing it all. Why do I need to do anything? Does that breed a civil society? Does that breed values? Because the more and more you think about what the government's doing, the more and more people actually sit around and go, you know what, I don't have to do any of this. It's being done for everybody. I'm going to stop caring. What else does big government do? There's possible, with all the money coming into one spot, isn't it possible that you could find some, what's the word here? What is that word? It's on the tip of my tongue. Bribery? No. Nepotism? No. Scandal? No. Favors? No. Friends? No. Temptation? No. Oh, I don't know. Corruption? corruption is endemic to big government, and it goes far beyond the occasional scandal from bribery and nepotism and or even Dominican prostitutes. It goes without saying that pampered politicians, putting up on a pedestal to be a rock star, desperate for re-election and the power to dispense favors, reward friends, and punish enemies, are prone to temptation, but real corruption goes deeper. Because another thought mindset that goes on in people's heads is, well, I got to play the game. I got to help government get bigger so that I can get a little piece of the money. Because the only money that's coming out of anywhere is for coming from the government. 12,390 registered lobbyists and special interest associations in Washington. Everything from the American Dehydrated Onion and Garlic Association to the National Balloon Council. Why are they there? Because the government is involved in every step of the way, from dehydrated onions to balloons. You can say that we just need to get rid of these lobbyists. Well, wait a minute. The people that are going to be taxed, regulated, paid, hired, and controlled by the government are naturally going to try to influence how they are taxed, regulated, paid, and hired, and controlled. Does that not make sense? As government Leviathan increases, you're going to sit around and go, wait, I need to do something to stop the way I'm getting taxed, regulated, paid, hired, and controlled. And let's go back to taking that money for your taxes at 15, 18, 5, and 12. Every dollar the government takes away from you, it spends it the way it wants. Is someone else making decisions for you? And taking away money from your family so that you can spend the way you want on your family. When the government tells us how to save for retirement, what health insurance to buy, what charity to support, what to eat, or whom we can marry, it forces people to live by the government standards rather than their own decisions. It prevents people from freedom. Milton Friedman wrote, "Those of us who believe in freedom must believe also in the freedom of individuals to make their own mistakes. We may argue with him, seek to persuade him that he is wrong, but are we entitled to use coercion to prevent him from doing what he chooses to do? Is there not always the possibility that he is wrong and he is right and we are wrong? Humility is the distinguishing characteristic of the true believer in freedom, arrogance, and the paternalist. Big government leaves us poorer and less prosperous. It does not fix social ills. As you notice, nothing is getting better. But worst of all, big government takes away the unique value and self-worth of every individual and how they feel about themselves. Do you not understand, ladies and gentlemen? Big government's bad all the way around for everybody. All right, we'll be back in a second with some local news. And, of course, at the top of the hour, Adele Amani across the pond gives us some special stuff. So we'll be right back in a couple shakes, and we're going to segue greatly into freedom. We're going to talk about how good America is because I'm tired of bad news. How about that? We've talked about here many times is that we are helping to educate future generations a lot, and with the help of the Homeschooler Hub and Homeschooler Assembly. Oh, we're going to announce some real big news next week. Real big news next week. We're going to announce there's a new place to go and find the truth. Side by side, and there's a new place to see the truth in video form, and there's a new place to get behind some potential people that want to help change this country. So, a lot of big announcements coming real, real soon. But again, back to what we do with one of the sponsors here, Homeschooler Hub, has a social network for homeschoolers, and they are starting to do a special on the miracle that is America. And they're highlighting a book from Brian P. Trotter and William S. Norton with fine art photography by Helen Thomas Robson. The book's called The Miracle of America, Birth of a Nation, and it's presented, it's somewhat covered by the National Center for Constitutional Studies, and they got together and they created this incredible book, and it's absolutely amazing. So taking that into it, I'd just like to read some passages out of it real quick. Again, you can purchase this book. Where's that page of where to buy? Anyway, this is by Brian P. Trotter, William S. Norton, Helen Thomas Robson. You can get it at Captured Miracles, CapturedMiracles.org, or National Center for Constitutional Studies, NCCS.net. CapturedMiracles.org, buy this book. Anyway, our battle cry. Let us put aside our differences, come together as believers in a creator, that we are a moral people and a nation united under God with the ability to achieve miracles. I'm just going to read this a little bit here. First little birth of a nation. America has a rich heritage of God-fearing and freedom-loving pioneers who blazed the trail of liberty that has been a blessing to the world. They bought freedom with their life's blood for generations unknown to them in their minds, but hoped for in their hearts. The settlement of America began with a few small bands of struggling victims of an oppressed existence seeking for the freedom to worship God according to their own dictates, not the dictates of tyrants. When in the course of human events, as the Declaration of Independence declares, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate, an equal station in which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident,
that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's important. This isn't getting taught anymore. In modern day Massachusetts, there resides the famous Old South Church, historic edifice that was once the tallest building in all of Boston. Now it sits quietly nestled in the midst of the towering office buildings of a busy urban life. But this unassuming church holds a secret, an amazing story of faith and divine intervention. In October of 1746, during what came to be known as King George's War, France sent a fleet of nearly 100 ships to burn the coastal cities of America. The American colonists alone held no hope in matching the massive cannon, gun, and manpower of this great fleet. They needed a miracle. The governor of Massachusetts assembled what men and resources he could and called for a universal day of fasting and prayer. Thronging to the churches, people everywhere pleaded with the Almighty, asking for that miracle. Time was short as the fleet was quickly approaching their shores. The Reverend Thomas Prince, from the high pulpit of the Old South Church, prayed before hundreds. He offered up these very words. Deliver us from our enemy. Send thy tempest, Lord, upon the waters to the eastward. Raise thy right hand. Scatter the ships of our tormentors and drive them hence. Sink their proud frigates beneath the power of thy winds. He had scarcely pronounced the words when the sun was consumed by darkness and there arose a great tempest in the sea. The land was cast in shadow as a great wind arose. Suddenly the shutters began a violent hammering, slamming at the windows as if the very hand of God shook the earth. The bell in the tower atop the old church began to ring erratically. Reverend Prince raised his hands high above his head. We hear thee, we hear thy voice, O Lord. We hear it. Thy breath is upon the waters to the eastward, even upon the deep. The bell tolls for the death of our enemies. The following week would bring news that a miracle had occurred. A virtual hurricane rose out of the Atlantic and sunk nearly all those French frigates. The remaining ships were observed sailing broken and battered from whence they came. Charleston wasn't burned, and Boston wasn't burned. New York wasn't burned. Something happened to stop that. And that was the first miracles known about this country. The fact that you're here, the one of a billion opportunities for you not to be here, is a miracle. The fact that you live in America and you have the freedoms that was brought to us by the forefathers is a miracle. But what's happening in today's world is slowly becoming more of a nightmare. People sleep peacefully in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their own behalf. That was a famous quote attributed to George Orwell. We should honor the police the same way we honor the soldiers and military, because their jobs are similar, both protect us from those who would commit evil acts and do great harm. But police today are being put in an almost impossible situation. As David Kuplian writes, as a child, I had idealized the naive idea of police work, thanks to the Andy Griffith Show. The good-hearted sheriff of the fictional town of Mayberry seemed to be able to solve all the locals' problems with wisdom and kindly strength and the help of his inept and goofy deputy, Barney Fife. Around the same time, artist Norman Rockwell rendered his famous painting, The Runaway, depicting a state trooper seated at the lunch counter talking with a little boy at whose feet lay a knapsack. Clear evidence he was intent on running away from home. When the real-life policeman who posed for Rockwell's painting, Massachusetts State Police Sergeant Richard J. Clemens, Jr., passed away just a few months ago, the force's superintendent, Colonel Marion J. McGovern, reflected on the iconic image. The painting of the trooper bending over in counsel to a young boy, intent on leaving home, captures much more than any images of shootouts and car chases favored by popular culture. The highest ideal of police work, helping someone in need at a vulnerable moment. I watched a Frank Sinatra movie the other day. And it was the one where he played a villain. He was trying to assassinate the president. And they flocked upon this small town to carry out this assassination because they thought, you know, it'd be easier than a big town, a big city. He had the two cops, actually three. I think it was three cops. Police the whole town as they walked from door to door, as they used to do. Going in the shops and, you know, having a malt in one spot and checking on the shopkeep of another shop. And when the Secret Service showed up, he got this telegram. Secret Service was coming. He said, "Whoa, the president's coming through our town, stopping at the train to disembark the train to get in a car. That's big." That was where Frank Sinatra and the villains were getting paid to kill the president. And when the Secret Service swooped in, they said, "Okay, we see this row of buildings here, these shops, they're going to have to be closed. Doors are going to have to be locked. No one's going to be in the buildings from X to X. Do you know all these people?" And the policeman said, "Yes, I know every one of them." And then he started naming names. "That's Billy. That's Billy's store. He opened that after, you know, he's been running that since his father passed. And there's James' store. He just started that. He's a great barber. You should really check it out." And then the Secret Service turns, looks at the house on the hill. "Well, what about that house up there? We gotta go check that out." He goes, "You don't mean old man McGillicuddy. I can't remember the exact name." And the Secret Service goes, "You talking about Colonel McGillicuddy?" "Yes." He goes, "Well, goodness, he was once my captain, my colonel." He says, "We got to just go pay a visit. I just can't wait to see him." And so the whole story was, there was a house on the hill, the only house that was very close enough to be of any issue to when the president was disembarking. And the cop and the other guy goes up there, and the movie continues that Frank got into that house, and then he captures the police, and then they spend the next hour, you know, trying to talk Frank out of it. And these four guys overthrow this attempt, and one of them being the local sheriff, even though he was shot in the arm. And the old colonel, he gets shot, but he's okay. And there's a little boy whose mom wouldn't let him have a gun, a .22 that the sheriff was trying to give to him. And wow, the movie's made in 1930 something or 40 something, and you just see what pieces of America were back then and how people talked to each other, even despite you had a criminal, you know, intent on doing harm. They still talked rather civil. In fact, there's a line in the movie where he goes, "You know, I kind of like you, Sheriff. You're a good egg. You're a good guy." So, you can watch things and see how helping someone in need is exactly how the police used to, policemen used to start their careers, by saying, "You know, I just want to go help." Nowadays, you're kind of being forced to serve, because now it's all, everything's about serving, serve, 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 serve. Well, back then, you didn't have to tell anybody to do it. They felt a call. Now, for the past few decades, powerful forces have transformed America and Americans. Vital institutions progressively changed, and just about all of them have changed, actually. We've got the elite news media that we know is not telling the truth. That's the reason for this show. They're doing a great bit of marketing. Hollywood has changed. Watch that movie and look at the big difference in the violence. Is really not glorified. It's undertoned, but it's massive. It's so out of the rest of the movie that when it happens, you're actually kind of shocked by it. Much like the audience of Hitchcock's first murder. Shocked by the chocolate syrup going down the bathtub drain. This violence in this movie doesn't happen for a very long time. And when it does, it's so shocking. That wasn't how the movie was. So law enforcement, particularly in the disintegrating urban environment, is under enormous pressures right now to abandon the traditional serve, protect, defend model of yesteryear in favor of a more aggressive and authoritarian ethos. The post 9/11 era wherein everyone is regarded as a potential terrorist is one factor, but another is the militarization of local and state police and hardcore warfighting equipment, including surveillance drones and machine gun equipped armored personnel carriers, courtesy of a federal government program. When you got such equipment, there's a tendency to want to use it. Then there's the Leviathan government that we just spoke about, trying to set the agenda for local police officers from the top, which, as we just spoke about, they're doing something that in the core and the function of the Constitution says you can't do. And it's not just Homeland Security. Even non-police agencies like Department of Education, National Park Service, Small Business Administration, Fish and Wildlife have their own police forces and SWAT teams. What? That's right. The place where you go to get your license to fish has a SWAT team. The Department of Homeland Security now purchasing billions of rounds of small arms ammunition, including lots of hollow point ammo, which, again, can only be used in America, according to a treaty. Who is the government? Who is the enemy our government is preparing to fight on its own soil? The government claims all the ammo is for mandatory quarterly training exercises for government agents. But who uses hollow points on the practice range? Mark Levin, top radio talker, a little bit above this show, a little bit. Just, I think he's got 9 more listeners than I do. I hope I'm not classified in the mark as the backbenchers. The backbencher is always talking about stuff. So when I'm quoting him in reverence. Trust me. He says, experts estimate that at the peak of the Iraq war, American troops were firing 5.5 million rounds per month. So the government, Department of Homeland Security right now, is buying up the number of bullets that can only be shot over here that equal a 24-year Iraq war. Does that put that in perspective of how many bullets they're buying? And they're buying bullets that, again, per treaty, cannot be shot over there. So what crisis is Department of Homeland Security anticipating? Back to David Koopland. I'm going to tell you what I think is going on. I don't think domestic insurrection, law enforcement, and national security agencies play out multiple scenarios. They think they're simulating the collapse of the financial system, the collapse of our society, and the potential for widespread violence, looting, killing in the streets, because that's what happens when an economy collapses. Now, we go back to what I broke into this segment with, and that was the fact that in 2008, to handle everything we've got in the government, tax rates going from 35, 25, and 10 to 88, 63, and 25. That's 12, 5, 18, 15, 18, and 12 on the take-home money. So once people figure that out, you don't think there'll be a little rise in some issues there, possibly? I'm not kidding, ladies and gentlemen. John Whitehead in the Rutherford Institute wrote in January, he's a civil rights attorney, if you want a recipe for a disaster, take police officers hyped up on their own authority and the power of the badge, throw in a few court rulings suggesting that security takes precedence over rights, set it against a backdrop of endless wars and militarized law enforcement, then add into the mix a populace distracted by entertainment, American Idol, out of touch with the workings of their government, not listening to shows like this. He didn't write that, but I threw that in. and more inclined to let a few sorry souls suffer injustice than to challenge the status quo. The resulting concoction, I can promise you, will be a messy, noxious stew unfit for consumption, miserable to digest, and with the after effects that will leave you reeling and clutching in your stomach in dismay. Such is the nature of life in the emerging police state that is America today, where roadside police stops have devolved into government-sanctioned exercises in humiliation and degradation with complete disregard for privacy and human dignity. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a scary, scary mix, is it not? Look around you. Even though you want to sit in your own house and ignore all of this, I need people to start taking a stand, because I am. Is there an out-of-touch populace? Yes. Are they getting the propaganda from the media? Yes. Is there a certain segment of the population not listening to this show? Yes. Can that be fixed? Yes. If you get there and you start telling everybody to start listening, and then tell them to get involved. Get involved in their local community and start working and talking to others and saying, let's make a difference. Standing around being ignorant to the fact doesn't help us anymore. In fact, standing around, even if you're not ignorant to the fact, standing around just bitching about it doesn't help anymore. It's time to plan. It's time to put it all together. It's time to move this thing forward and stop this stew from brewing. Because remember, ladies and gentlemen, as I just was reading in The Miracle of America, crisis, real or manufactured, do not void the Constitution. In real emergencies, we cannot descend into an anarchy that rules cities with police blatantly violating Constitution by confiscating legal guns of law-abiding citizens. Can't have that. Just because there's a crisis, as your man in Chicago says, never let a good crisis go to waste. One sign of a powerful counterforce to this trend is the enormous number of county sheriffs, literally hundreds of them, who have recently stood up and defied the federal government over its threats of new infringements of the Second Amendment, even pledging their lives to defend the constitutional rights of the residents of their own county come hell or high water. That's a great, great little segue into the people that signed the Declaration of Independence. Because every person that signed that knew they were signing away their lives They knew they were signing away their riches. They knew they were signing away everything that they had. But they knew they had to do it for the future of the country. In a minute, we're going to talk, we're going to have a track record on civil liberties. The Rutherford Institute, John Whitehead, has written an impressive timeline of this administration's track on civil liberties, going after your freedoms every day. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But right now, let's just pause to America.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now, thank goodness, the soothing, incredible voice of Adele Omane across the pond giving us a magic minute. You can learn more in these 5 minutes than many, many classes.
Welcome to Adele's Magic Minutes. In these minutes, I'd like to share with you answers to questions being asked in energy, and also to give you some tips and advice around how to apply those answers in your day-to-day life to start creating your abundance and become a conscious creator. Why do you make things so complicated? I have to admit, years ago, when I was going through an abusive marriage with no friends and family to turn to, I could not get it. When I would read about how easy it was to have all your desires just by being happy, I could not even begin to hope that one day I could be happy. It took me a while to begin the tentative steps of opening up my heart again, allowing myself to give and receive love. And as I did, the conditions of my life actually began to change. It took on an evolvement of me to find me, and now I really get it. It really is this simple. Live for your desires. Appreciate in every moment. Only do what makes you happy. Yet mankind has made everything so complicated by competing, living through material greed and the lust for power, which has only succeeded in societies based on fear and self-doubt. All the conditioning that is cascading out through media channels, through governments, to make the populace feel they have to meet a certain set of tenuous standards to be deemed socially acceptable, when they know the real power is within each and every one of us as individuals. This was my evolution on my path of a peaceful warrior, when I realized so much that was being put out there was false information, and learning to step away from that control. I'm not saying this step is easy. To clear your mind of all the conditioning thoughts and replace with fully conscious thoughts focused on you and your desires alone takes persistence, focus, and a definiteness of purpose. All traits a warrior needs. Once you begin to clear out your mind, you change your beliefs. Change your beliefs, you change the conditions of your life without question. Away from all the hype, hysteria, and conditioning, you begin to see that the power of energy is in a constant conversation with you, and at its clearest when your heart is fully open. Unconditional love is the highest form of energy, and when you love yourself, there is no jealousy. There's no resentment or lack. You understand abundance, that everyone is here to create their own, and that abundance is not limited or selective. It is free flowing. So when you can focus on your desires, live in the moment, find everything and anything to increase your happiness levels. In fact, only be, do, and have what you are passionate about. Then you allow yourself to let go of resistance. You come into alignment with the energy you are and attract all experiences and opportunities to support your passion and desires. Simple. Yet so many people close their hearts down when they've been through either a personal relationship that hasn't worked, or they've been through certain areas of their life that don't seem to be working. They immediately feel that it's something wrong with them. They immediately feel that they are not worthy, or that they are too stupid, or that they are never going to be successful, never going to make anything in life. And this is so wrong. It is all about having your heart open. It's all about just learning from these experiences. It's so true. When you hear that phrase, it's not the final destination, it's the journey. And I remember, I used to think, what on earth are people talking about? But it is so true. It's all about the journey. You will never have a final destination, because there are always going to be more desires as your desires come to you and you fulfill them and they start happening for you. There is always going to be a new desire. It will never, ever stop. You will never, ever say, that's it, I've got everything, I'm completely happy, I'm sorted. Because that's not the nature of energy. And as energy beings, we are here to experience. So take that big step, open your heart, let it be open. Because when you let it be open, you will be amazed at the opportunities and the experiences that start coming and flowing to you. So please, get out there, give it a go.
See what I mean, ladies and gentlemen? Now get out there and give it a go. Let's have some more disturbing second hour.
Crazy, mad, insane world.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Crazy, mad, insane world.
Easy to fish, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, easy to feel like there ain't nothing in your life. Harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive. But it's really worth it if you give it a try. Easy to fish, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive.
It takes one to know one. Jack rules. Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
Disturbing first hour. When we write and come up with the topics of these things, we know some of them are going to be just an arduous drag on just being happy. Wow. Oh. Well, let's talk about some runoffs happened recently down in South Carolina. There was a runoff for the seat vacated by Tim Scott as he was moved to the Senate. And the former governor of South Carolina, Mark Sanford, advanced Tuesday to a runoff, I believe, with a Bostic, I think. Pretty sure about that. And also a current fight over a Richland school district. The current district moved to oust a lady that was kind of showing the way that they were cooking the books, so to speak. She was ousted, and now she has to take her fight to the court. But it's a curious one. Down there with Governor Sanford saying that, you know, he's pleased he gets to come back and try to do what he is was planning to do as governor and move forward. But he said he's made a lot of big changes in his life and he is where he is. And apparently the voters decided they believe him. So he is going to be involved and can be potentially a House of Representatives person for down there. So that was some big local news there. More news. Oklahoma House passed a bill to ban UN Agenda 21. North Dakota setting to ban abortions at 6 weeks of pregnancy. Recently, I believe it was Oklahoma. Where is that? Where's all my notes? Someone nullified Obamacare. I think we're looking at three states, and I think South Carolina's up for being number four that has nullified the law. We're going to talk about the law here in a minute. Any more legislation? Oh, there's a new pope since the last show. I guess I should mention that. There's a lot of talk about him. There's an awful lot to talk about. So anyway, those were the big news. Big news. All right. This is a huge list we're about to go into. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 things.
so far. This is a small list, I do believe. But it ties together. I want you to grab this, okay? We talked about a Leviathan government and why it's bad, period. Even if you're not paying attention. We broke it down simply into just $20,000, $50,000, and $100,000. And how much you'd make if everything that continues to grow, grows. And then you have to ask yourself which one you want to work for. 20, 50, 100, which turned out to be 15, 18, and 12. Then we spoke about how the police state and how police across the country are now getting militarized by the administration. So the administration is making small town decisions when they should not be. Now, what about the encroaching, ever encroaching track record on civil liberties and freedom? Remember, we just spoke about the Rutherford Institute's John Whitehead. Talking about the stew. And so now, here's a list that he has compiled that I will share with you on the disturbing track record of civil liberties. March 2009, after 2 months being elected, the Unconstitutional National Security Agency spying program was held up in court. Insisted that actions authorized by the president, including illegally spying on American citizens, should be free from any judicial scrutiny whatsoever. So if you didn't like it when it was implemented under the Bush years, you certainly shouldn't like it when it's maintained in the current years. As we have reports over and over and over, in fact, just last week, there was a report, Google admits FBI spying on normal Americans using their technology. Does that sound freedom-ish to you? 2009, Department of Homeland Security launched a program, Operation Vigilant Eagle, which calls for the surveillance of military veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, characterizing them as extremists and potential domestic terrorist threats because they may be disgruntled, disillusioned, or suffering from the psychological effects of war. Coupled with the DHS report on right-wing extremism, which broadly defines right-wing extremists as individuals or groups that are mainly anti-government, rejecting federal authority in favor of state or local authority, or rejecting government authority entirely. These tactics bode ill for anyone seen as opposing the government, whether it be an occupier, Tea Party supporter, or a free speech protester. Whoa. You didn't know that listening to this show makes you kind of a right-wing extremist? You didn't know that you're being seen as an anti-government possible terrorist? There's a big, big, big difference between what I see the Tea Party attempting to do and what real terrorists attempt to do. Tea Party is attempting to educate, change lives, and show how America could be the greatest country in the world again and bring back the freedoms and the old-timey policeman that knows all the shop owners. Versus, I'm going to blow some stuff up. I've now said
I believe in this show I've said two things that when taken out of context. We'll be back. And I discussed that movie, Frank Sinatra, where he played a villain wanting to, I don't even want to say it again. Ooh, goodness. Goodness. Now you made me choke. We need a cough button. I keep saying that. I got this. Thank you for letting me know. I cough well. Wait, I got this too. I think that's long enough. Okay, let's see. How can we make this better since we're being labeled as extremists and terrorists? We did last week. We used jazz to calm us down. Is there anything to kind of... What's this? There we go. Turn down a little bit. There we go. Yeah. A little smooth. A little bit more modern. That'll work. Will it work? Maybe. No. No, let's try this one. Not bad. Oops. All right. Here we go. That'll work. Yeah. That'll calm us down when we read the rest of these. No more choking. Goodness. I said two things that take it out of context. Have some drone. I'll hear that real quick here. July 2009, Obama threatened to veto an oversight bill that would have required the president to inform lawmakers about covert CIA activities. That bill never came to pass. It is much better with the piano. It is. In December 2009, Obama, recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, announced his intention to ramp up the military-industrial complex's war in Afghanistan and subsequently followed through with his plan. February 2010, the Department of Defense issued a U.S. Army field manual detailing the prospective internment and resettlement of American citizens in the event of another terrorist attack or natural disaster on U.S. soil. The leaked document confirmed the fears of many government critics, from the Patriot Movement on the right to Occupy on the left to anonymous anarchists, organized racists, survivalists, and plain old conspiracy theorists in between. That's right. It was a manual that was detailing the prospective internment and resettlement of American citizens. In March 2010, the Department of Homeland Security began rolling out controversial full-body scanners to American airports. Despite the initial outcry about the invasive nature of the scanners and enhanced pat-downs of American citizens, government officials continued to tout the machines as safe and effective. A year later, an investigative report revealed that 6 to 100 U.S. airline passengers each year could get cancer from these machines, which were purchased from the stimulus. Now the machines are being retooled. It's all right, don't worry about that. Fly? Cancer, no big deal. July 2010, the Obama administration arrested 23-year-old Army soldier Bradley Manning on charge of he leaked classified military and diplomatic documents to the anti-secrecy website WikiLeaks. Now, he said he did it, actually. He was held in maximum solitary confinement close to a year, treated normally reserved for the most violent or dangerous criminals. Manning has now, since this was written, yet to be put on trial. His treatment was intended... Send a clear warning to all those who would challenge the military empire. Don't even consider it. I've seen several times where people in the military have been basically told to silence.
U.S. Supreme Court 8-1 ruling in Kentucky versus King effectively decimated the Fourth Amendment by giving SWAT teams more leeway to break into homes or apartments in search of illegal drugs when they suspect evidence might be destroyed. The court, at the urging of the administration, sanctioned warrantless raids, saying that police had acted lawfully, and that was all that mattered. I can hear some of you saying, well, I don't see a problem with that. Remember, this is his list. We'll talk about them in a detailed minute. June 2011, a Department of Education SWAT team forced its way into the home of a California man, handcuffed him, and placed his three children in a squad car while they conducted a search of his home, allegedly over falsified student loans. Raids of this type are becoming increasingly common. More than 50,000 such raids occur every year in America. The federal agencies such as the State Department, Department of Energy, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and the National Park Service laying claim to their own SWAT team. In June 2011, FBI granted 14,000 agents expansive additional powers allowed to investigate individuals using highly intrusive monitoring techniques, including infiltrating suspect organizations with confidential informants and photographing and tailing suspect American citizens without having any factual basis for suspecting them of any wrongdoing. September 2011, two American citizens were killed during a drone attack in Yemen as part of a government kill list operation, which Obama personally directs, who should be targeted for death by military drones. Drone strikes, signature poly has now tripled since Obama's office. December 2011, the Senate passed the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, which mandates anyone suspected of terrorism against the United States can be held in military custody indefinitely. Provision extends to American citizens on American territory, quietly signed into law on New Year's Eve. February 2012, signed the FAA Reauthorization Act, which opens up American skies for the domestic use of armed surveillance drones, a $30 billion per year industry. Incredibly, no civil liberties protections for Americans were included in the legislation. By 2020, estimated 30,000 drones will be crisscrossing the nation's skies, equipped with anti-personnel weapons and surveillance devices. There was a show on History Channel where they talked to the inventor of this camera, which can take high-def snapshots all the way down to tell you what color of your eyes are from 3 miles in the air. March 2012, Congress overwhelmingly passed and Obama signed the Anti-Protest Trespass Bill, legislation that makes it a federal crime to protest or assemble in the vicinity of protected government officials. The bill's language is so overly broad as to put an end to free speech, political protest, and the right to peacefully assemble in all areas where government officials happen to be present. The same month, Obama issued an executive order stating that in case of war or national emergency, the federal government has the authority to take over almost every aspect of American society. Phone, internet, TV, where you go, how you move, resettlement, internment. What happened to the piano? It's got to keep going. We have four more. Let's go through them. In April 2012, the U.S. Supreme Court again, at the urging of the Obama administration, declared that any person who is arrested and processed at a jailhouse, regardless of the severity of his or her offense, they can be guilty of nothing more than a minor traffic offense, can be subjected to a strip search by police or jail officials without reasonable suspicion the arrestee is carrying a weapon or contraband. I noticed some. That sounds okay. In July 2012, the Obama administration began allowing the National Counterterrorism Center to store and critically assess information on innocent Americans for up to 5 years. That's not that long. 5 years. Google's policy is we'll keep all emails in and out of our system for future use. My quotes are in the air. Data recorded by the NCTC includes records from law enforcement investigations, health information, employment history, travel, and student records, among other things. If you were here last week, we talked about the National Core Curriculum Database. That in itself is scary. September 2012, in the months preceding, in major cities across the country, including Boston, Miami, Little Rock, and Los Angeles, the U.S. military carried out training exercises involving Black Hawk helicopters and uniformed soldiers. The exercises occurred in the middle of the night with full cooperation of local police forces and generally without forewarning the public. And October 2012 revealed the Obama administration has been secretly developing a new blueprint for pursuing terrorists, the next generation targeting list calling for the Disposition Matrix. The matrix goes beyond the president's kill list to detail suspects beyond the reach of American drones. The disposition matrix is also overseen by the NC. And there you have it. Internment. Reassignment. All TV. All. Be taken by one voice. It is then that we all shall hear the truth. That last statement was a lie. Don't get me started coughing again. Oh my. I know it's not Christmas, in fact. Spring is starting. The pollen's in the air. Hello, hello, hello. Doop, 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 doop. Azure blue. Dup. So we're learning about how the largesse of the government could be a problem in your freedom. As we showed, the more government does, the less civil and private society does. But what about the impending things coming down the pike? What about the obscure little things in the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act? What a great name. Very disingenuous name, however. Very disingenuous. Pure marketing. Because it's not about the truth. It's about marketing. Slick, slick marketing. There's a lot of stuff in there that will intrude on every aspect of life in America from cradle to grave. As we've talked about, they call it P through K-20, preschool through work in the Common Core. Common Core! In this bill, there's a national healthcare strategy that is trying to lay way to home visitations by government agents, including forced immunizations, to community transformational grants, all designed to alter Americans' lifestyle to conform to the whims of the bureaucrats in Washington. It's vague on how these things are supposed to be carried out. In fact, nothing to see here. Move along. The primary function of existing school-based health centers is to circumvent parental involvement in the important area of directing a child's health care. You don't think that'll be a step into possibly why homeschoolers can't do what they do? The new healthcare law directs health officials to search out high-risk populations and provide improvements in parenting skills without specifying what is deemed poor parenting. Since religious morals are already targeted by schools as being improper, how will this play out under Obamacare? What is emotional wellness, and how is the government going to see that the people attain it? Surely it isn't by cutting bureaucracy and spending, bringing the troops home, reducing taxes. No. No, it's a massive new bureaucracy. It instructs the Secretary of Health and Human Services to establish a national strategy to improve the delivery of health care services, patient health outcomes, and population health. A comprehensive strategic plan to achieve the priorities and agency-specific strategic plans to achieve national priorities. Annual benchmarks for each relevant agency and strategies to align public and private payers with regard to quality and patient safety efforts. In short, the federal government is going to micromanage the healthcare sector in an effort to achieve its desired outcomes and going to force private insurers to participate in this micromanagement, part of the price they will have to pay for having Uncle Sam hand them the captive market. The president will convene a working group to be known as the Interagency Working Group on Healthcare Quality. It will include senior-level representatives from 23 other named federal agencies and any other federal agencies and departments as determined by the president. Working together, these agencies can be the Department of Commerce, Coast Guard, Federal Bureau of Prisons, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Federal Trade Administration, Department of Labor, Department of Defense, Department of Education. What? What does this have to do with healthcare? There's another provision in the act that constructs the president to establish within the Department of Health and Human Services a council known as the National Prevention, Health Promotion, and Public Health Council. President Obama has already issued an executive order to create that council. It's chaired by the Surgeon General and consists of senior level representatives from 12 named federal agencies. The head of other federal agencies, the chairman, determines as appropriate. And this council will coordinate prevention, wellness, and health promotion practices. Develop a national prevention, health promotion, public health, and integrative health care strategy, and provide recommendations to the President and Congress concerning changes in federal policy to achieve national wellness, health promotion, and public health goals, including the reduction of tobacco use, sedentary behavior, and poor nutrition, and to propose policies for the promotion of transformative models of prevention, integrative health, and public health on individual and community levels across the United States. There will be a list of national priorities and specific science-based initiatives to address lifestyle behavior modification in regard to smoking cessation, proper nutrition, appropriate exercise, mental health, behavioral health, substance use disorder, and domestic violence screening. Does that sound like we are going to get it all to where you will be in line? Has anyone seen that SpongeBob episode where he turned normal? Where Squidward asked him, why can't you be normal? And he went normal. Going to be normal, and eventually his head got unsquare and it got round, and he was just normal and he conformed. And for a while, Squidward thought it was great. And after a while, everybody looked around. Everybody was everybody. That's right. Everybody was everybody. Normal. Because you're all thinking we have a national strategy that nutrition is going to work exactly the same on every single person. If that was the case, why do some people live to 190? Some people die at 2 or 0. I know that's harsh. I know that the reality of the situation is tough, but you have to look at it in the aspect that one single rule is not going to be able to be carried out for all persons. Isn't it horrendous to think that they're going to start regulating your personal behavior? Well, they already do in some aspects. They tell you nothing to see here. Yes, I hear the plane. No, I'm sure it's not a drone. Actually, I'm not sure. Sounds more like a plane. These people believe in this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. That's why it's so bad to allow the camel's nose to get under the tent. Guess what comes next? Camel. And if, in fact, free health care comes your way, you don't think the person in charge of that saying, well, we're paying for it, so guess what you have to do? We're going to tell you how to live. In other words, this health care could turn the United States into a police state and one giant psychiatric laboratory. And Americans are the rats stuck inside and subjected to behavior modification until we stop smoking, take our vaccinations, no Twinkies, jog X amount of hours per day, quit ingesting substances that the big pharmaceutical companies can't patent, and tell Uncle Sam we've stopped beating our wives. Tell them what we ate, how much broccoli, how many pounds per square inch of the week. I'm serious, every aspect. Do you think this is what the healthcare was all about? Comprehensive health assessments, diagnosis, and treatment of minor acute and chronic medical conditions. Mental health, substance use disorder, assessments, crisis intervention, counseling, treatment, and referral to a continuum of services, including emergency, psychiatric care, community support programs, inpatient care, and outpatient programs. In other words, things churches, private industries used to do and take care of and do quite well at us now, it's all that's gone because everyone's going to sit around and say, the government's doing it. Remember, we just spoke about big government takes away freedoms. People. You want to talk about the community transformation plan? Let's go ahead and bring that up. This has been a happy hour, right? Creating healthier school environments, including increasing health food options, physical activity opportunities, promotion of healthy lifestyle, emotional wellness, prevention curricula, and activities prevent chronic diseases. That sounds good, doesn't it? Creating the infrastructure to support active living and access to nutritious foods in a safe environment. That sounds great. Developing and promoting programs targeting a variety of age levels to increase access to nutrition, physical activity, and smoking cessation, improve social and emotional wellness, enhance safety in a community, or address any other chronic disease priority area identified by the grantee. So in other words, you got an area around some electric wires that get a lot of cancer, the grantee can go, oh, we need to go talk about this. Assessing and implementing worksite wellness programming and incentives. Highlight healthy options at restaurants and other food venues. Prioritizing strategies to reduce racial and ethnic disparities, including social, economic, and geographic determinants of health. And addressing special population needs, including all age groups, individuals with disabilities, and individuals in both urban and rural areas. The law, smokers, you think that over the years you've been ostracized now. There's provision in the health care program that is charged, the National Prevention Health Promotion and Public Health Council is charged with reducing smoking, mandating that smokers go on a list of Americans to get home visitations from federal health officials. That's right. They're coming to your house when you're a smoker. You buy that cigarette pack, you're saying to the government, it's okay to come check me out once a month. Health officials now promote and provide immunizations even to the point of going door to door. Come to your house, people. This is not healthcare. You don't buy bullets for health care. You don't keep the train going when obviously it looks like it's about to crash. Unless you're ready for the crisis. Or desirous of the crisis. The law gives the federal governments and state governments virtually unlimited power to interfere in America's lives, even within the confines of their own homes. The act has in it all over requirements that can only be accomplished by entry into private family homes, because the last step, private property, that makes every home a hospital. Because now they can say that, because they're into your health care. We're paying for it, so that makes everywhere a hospital. It destroys individual self-reliance. We just spoke about how government destroys individual freedoms and individual desires to do better. Tie it all together, ladies and gentlemen. When you see the big picture, it's kind of scary, I understand. In another way, in a nutshell, this provision, the police state, big government destroys families. Foundations, as we see from the American Republic, the miracle that is America, we didn't have all this and became all we are now. How in the world do you take what is the greatest and say, this has got to be better by crashing it and breaking it down and making it worse? There's a, I'm sure you guys have seen it, the new bureaucracy of what talks to who and who talks to what from the Secretary of Health and Human Services and all that's created. And how physicians, the doctor that the patient is going to, is not tied directly to the patient. Because as doctors have come on this show, actually have said, they've been told they're not your patient, doctor. They're ours. Brand new mandates in just a third of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. 19 special interest provisions. $569 billion in higher taxes. $529 billion in Medicare cuts. 16 million more Americans on Medicaid. And two new bureaucracies with powers to impose future rationing. The patient-centered Outcomes Research Institute and the Independent Payments Advisory Board. Small businesses with 50 employees or more are getting a $2,000 per employee fine. If the employers earn up to 400% of the poverty level, it's a $3,000 fine. All restaurants with 50 employees and vending machines will have to provide nutritional information. Billions of dollars funding programs for home visitation, and other grant-created agencies designed to manage you and your children's weight, eating habits, exercise routine, and other lifestyle habits, all in the name of controlling health care costs. There will be a fine for noncompliance. You know what? We started showing how big government doesn't work. We started showing how it will intrude. And change your life. I implore you to, for this to move you to action. I implore you to come to grips with the reality that the status quo is not going to work. I implore you to join a local group and say, I'm not going to take it anymore. What can I do? What can I do? I want to thank you for listening today. We knew it wasn't being a glorious, glorious, glorious show, but the information presented is enough for you to go out and say, you know what, the low information person, I want to tell you some stuff that I just heard and make it and break it down very simply. Do you not understand that your freedom is going to be gone? It's going to be an ugly, ugly scene. We've got to fix this, ladies and gentlemen. We need you to act, and we need you to come aboard and start helping. We need more than just talk. We can do this together. We can do this right. I implore you to get on board with somebody. Next week, we're going to give you big, 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 big steps. That you can take. To make this happen. We're gonna lay out the steps and lay out the new ways that the information will be disseminated, and so that the truth will reveal itself. I want you guys on board. Tell everyone you know to listen to the show, and tell everyone you know after next week that you are ready. You're jumping on the train, and you're going to help make it happen. I apologize. This show was a little raw, but there is really no way to do it without raw, because the facts are bleak. But it can be changed, and we can do it together. So let's do that, okay?
This is it. Somewhere that's new, play it.
Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Please tell everybody about us. We'll talk to you next week.